It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Make sure you got two. Here we go, man. Here we go.
The second the nut hits my lip, I spit it out.
Take your hand and put it down your pants, huh?
Whoa.
Put a dome on it.
I'm a closet Artist Gilmore fan.
Shout out the Hoggies.
You need some help here, Swigart? Are we just going away? You doing okay over there?
I don't know what's
Dirt
going on.
Hawks has it with 20 points.
Why are we
tonight?
Doing this? Now are we doing an open? What are we now doing? We an open going?
Can I talk during the open?
You're already doing
it's
it.
Over. Lucky 13 for the Knicks.
With Andy Dirk Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
So deep. It's so long.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number 3, just getting underway. Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
I have no idea what that was. It's one of the stranger.
Yep, we just went, you go silent. Swag's panicking. He's got palms up, palms up, looking at the computer. What are we doing here? What are we doing here?
No matter how
did
much you shake and how much you dance, the last drop always winds up in your pants.
Did we talk? Does he talk? Are we playing something? I don't know what's happening. Dead air makes me feel uncomfortable. We're back, baby. Welcome in. Hour number 3. Lots to get to in the final 2 hours of our work week here on a Friday. Hope your Fridays are off to a great start. I have some fun with audio for you. We'll bring that to you at some point. We love doing tiers lists in the NFL quarterback tiers.
Oh.
I have a tier from another sport I'm going to throw at you.
Damn it.
And how do we feel about these tiers and who shows up in what tier?
I'll give you some tiers.
Ooh, give me some tiers. A lot of tiers down in Lubbock, Texas right now because I don't know what's going on. Let's talk about that and everything else going on in the world of college football, including his future college football rankings with our wonderful friend of ESPN, Adam Rittenberg at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter is where you can go give him a follow. Senior college football writer for ESPN. Adam, good morning to you. I do want to get to your future rankings of teams because I found where certain teams are ranked very curious in the movement from a year ago to now, but how do we not get to the elephant in the room of what in the world is going on in Lubbock, Texas? How is the Big 12 going to respond to this? And does Adam Rittenberg view this as another like speed bump in the road of college football, which we've certainly had a lot of, but we get over it and the ride continues? Or is this genuinely a, oh my God, that's a lightning rod, you know, curve in the road moment where the sport was one way and now it's another way?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. I do think it's a big moment, but in the same vein, it's one that we could be looking back at in a few months and saying, well, you know, nothing ended up happening. The Big 12 didn't sanction Texas Tech. The appeal of the NCAA to the injunction was denied. And let's start breaking down how Brendan Sorsby is going to help Texas Tech repeat as Big 12 champion. I mean, that's a very real possibility, you know, given what happened earlier this week. I do think it's maybe most interesting to look at this on the parallel track of what's happening in Washington with the conversation about the bill that was introduced by the two senators, Cruz and Cantwell, which is, you know, that conversation is continuing. And it does help in some weird way to have an event like this to really get people's attention that maybe weren't as locked in on college football and all of its challenges like the three of us, and say, hey, we really need to get this moving to try to get to the finish line to allow the sport to govern itself better than it currently is. Where it ultimately goes with Sorsby, it's hard to forecast that. I did not think even in the state where you have friendly judges and certainly judges that are influenced by certain schools, that he would get this injunction, but he did. And now, Texas Tech, which it made very clear last night on its extensive video that it put out, they are fully supportive of Sorsby, dealing with what he's got to deal with, but also getting to the point where he can help this team in 2026.
Do you like the legislation they're proposing with Cantwell and Cruz? Do you like the Save, Protect College Sports Act?
I like certain elements of it for sure. I really think the biggest thing is, sort of this antitrust protection to avoid what we've – I mean, again, what's essentially happened here is that, you went from a sport that was too controlled by the coaches and the schools to a sport that's now almost completely controlled by the players, their attorneys, and their agents. And that's not a sustainable model. You can't have a sport where you basically turned it over to those on the field and those that are representing them, because it's so individualized. There's no collective. There's no standards that we all abide by. Everybody kind of just does what they want, and it becomes an all politics is local situation where if you're unhappy, you just find a judge and then makes you happy. It's not a sustainable way to operate. And so I think that's an important element. I think having some type of limitations around transferring can be beneficial. Some type of standardization with agents and certification. Ultimately, the sport needs collective bargaining. It's pretty clear at this point. Will those schools and the NCAA ultimately go forward with that, or will we have some type of separation where the bigger conferences or whoever it is decide, this is the only way we can go forward? Because again, if you have collective bargaining and you have the clear rules that the player side and the school side agrees on, then a rule is a rule. Right now, we don't have anything really that is enforceable, as was shown this week, and that's why there's such consternation and outcry about this injunction.
Yeah, we're talking with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, senior college football writer for ESPN at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. It also just kind of sums up everything that sucks about it, because I think we're in tune for an awesome college football season. I'm going to get to your rankings about, future programs and where everybody kind of stacks up and all of that. And what is the thing that is dominating the headlines in the offseason? The idea about, antitrust, and can this guy who gambled on his own team continue to play because a judge in Lubbock, Texas said that he could. So to that point, Adam, I'm going to ask you. You got your rankings out. ESPN.com, you tweeted them out as well. Future college football rankings over the next 2 years. You have a new number one. So for our audience I'm just curious, what is the criteria that goes into kind of ranking this, and what was it about your new number one that made you put them number one?
Right. So this has been an interesting process. I did this. I've done this for more than 10 years. So I started doing this, and it was a three-year projection, before the portal, before there was such a widespread player movement. And you could really look at a team and say, okay, they've got a quarterback in place for the next couple of years. They're really doing well at their high school recruiting. They're not losing a lot of coaches. And so now you really look at everything. You look at how they're doing from a portal perspective, high school recruiting. I really place an emphasis on offensive and defensive line outlook. Are you a team that has a number of underclassmen on your lines of scrimmage that are able to come back for multiple years, or you just have a track record of being able to reload on the O-line and D-line? How are you with staff retention? Are you a team that loses your coaches? year after year, or do you keep them together, much like Indiana has in each of the last 2 years? And it's really tricky, right? It's really hard to forecast, you know, beyond this season. But, you know, I think that, you know, again, if this was a one-year projection, you know, talking to you guys, Oregon would be higher than number four. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason I have Notre Dame up top is because their overall trajectory from high school recruiting, way better than under Marcus Freeman than it was under Brian Kelly. They finally developed their own quarterback instead of going to the portal every year in C.J. Carr, who may go on to the NFL next year, but may come back for another year at Notre Dame. Wouldn't shock me if he did. They're an elite offensive line and defensive line program. They only took 7 transfers this year in the portal, but 5 of them are considered blue chip transfers according to our research team. So that's by far the best percentage in college among the Power Four in college football. Hmm. And, you know, the wild card here is Marcus Freeman. If he goes to the NFL in a year, Notre Dame's outlook becomes very murky, and they're certainly not number one in next year's power rankings, but for now we're assuming he will be there multiple years, and that's why, again, Notre Dame gets the edge. It was really down to Notre Dame and Ohio State for me. Could certainly have gone with the Buckeyes, but actually the O-line and D-line play for me put Notre Dame over the top.
You know what's interesting is right now, Adam, there seems to be a wave of, not that coaches don't relocate, but like Dan Lanning's pretty loyal to Oregon. All these coaches say what they say publicly. We know they live in different worlds privately, but he's been pretty open about, like, I have the best gig. I don't need to go anywhere else. We can do it here. Freeman's got a great setup at Ohio State. Notre Dame, excuse me. I'm just curious of some of these young coaches. You mentioned Freeman in the NFL. What do you hear about some of these guys in terms of, you would pick one of them to say if they left college football, it would be for the NFL versus leaving for another program?
Right. I actually think those two are really good examples. I don't think Dan Lanning and Marcus Freeman are going to leave for other college jobs. I guess with Marcus, the unknown is Ohio State, because he played there and he's from there, from the state of Ohio. But, you know, again, given where Notre Dame is and Ohio State is, I don't think it's a huge gap like there had been for years and years. And that's not a knock against Ohio State. It's really a credit to what Notre Dame has done and what Marcus has done. And so I do think Marcus Freeman will be an NFL head coach. He's young enough. He can go do it. He can succeed and stay, or he can fail. He can come back and pretty much take any college job he wants. And then with Dan, you know, I think he's been very clear that he's not looking to leave Oregon. You know, if the Kansas City Chiefs come open, that might be the one. But he's also very much in play. So it's why Oregon will not be flipping down these rankings, I don't think, anytime soon, and more than likely will be moving up rather than down in the future because of Dan and because of the type of program that he's established there. But, yeah, I think those are two really good examples of young, successful college coaches who I don't think are leaving for other college jobs, but you know, could end up going to the NFL at some point.
Yeah, we're talking with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter, senior college football writer for ESPN, going over his future outlook rankings, future power rankings through 2027 in college football. You can find that at ESPN.com and also on his Twitter account. There is something that's one of the interesting teams that I find, and I was like, the first thing that I kind of looked at was one, like, where's Oregon going to be? I'm just curious. In lists like this, where people around the country have them ranked. The other one was Indiana, because yeah, you had Kurt Cincinnati in year one turn Indiana into a respectable program, right, to win 10 games. Oh my God, that's incredible. They hadn't done that forever. And you had them ranked 20th last year. They then win the national championship. They go undefeated, the undisputed best team in the sport all season long. And you had them ranked number 7. And I was just curious of that, of like, because I'm also looking at this year and wondering, I know they're going to be good. Is it the Indiana of 2 years ago good? Are they a national title? Like, are they at the Ohio State level of like that year in and year out? They're a championship contender, because I do think there's a gap there and a tier there where you could be good in a one-off where everything comes together, as opposed to the doing it year in and year out. You're one of the best teams in the sport. Why number 7 for Indiana, and what more evidence do you need in order to move them up higher on a list like this?
Right, yeah, they're a tricky team to rank, right? Because, again, they were the best team in the country last year. There was no doubt about it. Look at who they beat. Look at how they beat them. And they could certainly do it again. Now, they lost a lot of really good players to the NFL. And they lost a number of players who had been with Kurt Cignetti and that staff at multiple spots. But this team has done everything it can to sustain its place among programs that have for years recruited at a higher level, spent more money on their coaching staff, on their players, They did really well in the portal again. You know, able to get, you know, Josh Hoover as a successor to Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner. They're able to land a guy like Nick Marsh, who Notre Dame wanted, the wide receiver from Michigan State, able to help their defensive line, which lost some good players to the NFL. I really like their O-line and D-line outlook. And so, you know, why are they 7 and not 1? They're still not recruiting anywhere near where Oregon and Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Georgia's, again, probably the most dominant recruiting operation year in and year out in college football, high school recruiting. And so that's probably where it needs to still elevate. But, hey, if they can continue to fill holes in the portal and develop players, I mean, there's still a number of guys, if you look at their two deep, especially those that held over from the previous staff, that are really good players, but were not high-level recruits. And so that's what still is the next step there. But Indiana, you give them credit, they have done everything they can to give Sig a chance to keep this rolling, even though they are not like the others. I mean, yes, last year they won a national championship, but if you were to compare the history, how the programs are constructed, where they recruit from, and so forth, they're still an outlier in this group of the other top 10 teams. Those other top 10 teams, for the most part, are always going to be hovering around the top 10. Indiana is the one that has burst in here. And shoot, if they can follow it up with another playoff appearance, they're likely going to rise even further in next year's FPR.
The one thing we've talked about, despite, you know, all the circus around the sport with Sorsby and whatnot, is the fourth in the conference. And what we mean by that is, when you look at the Big Ten, it is a team like you just mentioned and talked about, Indiana. It is Ohio State, obviously. They're going nowhere. Oregon appears to not be moving. So we know, like, going into the season, our minds might be saying, there's three. Who is the fourth in the Big Ten for you this season? We know USC has a quarterback coming back this year, and Lincoln Riley's talking about, now we have to be a playoff team. We know Michigan went the more kind of mature adult route of, like, let's get our culture and our program back. Let's go Whittingham. We know Penn State hired Matt Campbell. When you look at the Big Ten, who is the fourth team in the Big Ten, according to Adam Rittenberg?
Yeah, it's probably one of those three, and I'm less bullish on Michigan just because I need to see it. I need to see how their passing game is. Their passing game has been really bad the last 2 years since they won the national championship back in 2023. Jason Beck is a really good offensive coordinator, but he's known more as a run-first guy. I mean, Utah had a top-five offense last year running the ball. You know, Michigan's going to run the ball. It may not matter if they can't throw the ball at a much higher rate. Penn State, to me, is really interesting, guys, because – you know, it's essentially Iowa State's roster with a few of the Penn State guys mixed in. Matt Campbell's a heck of a coach. Their schedule is quite favorable for year one, but I just don't know if they're a playoff team, like, at the end of the day. USC's the one. Like, USC's the one I really want to like. And there's a lot of evidence that since they've been in the Big Ten, or since Lincoln has got there, rather, to suggest, oh, don't buy into USC. You know, they're going to blow it. Their schedule's really tough. But you look at their quarterback, who's excellent. One of the high QBR leaders last year, in Jaden Mayava. You know, they'll find receivers. I'm not worried about that. Two really good running backs coming back. And then again, I'm a big line of scrimmage guy. Look at their offensive line. Everybody's coming back. Look at their defensive line. They didn't have to go out and get a bunch of transfers. This feels like a team that at least was built the right way to then take the next step. Now they've actually got to do it. And they've got to defend their home turf, where they have, Oregon and Ohio State coming in. They've got to go to Penn State. It's a really challenging schedule, even without Notre Dame. And USC's got to deliver. So, you know, if it's not one of them, you can never write off Iowa. Iowa was really close to making the playoff last year. I know people don't want to hear that, but they really were. Oregon fans can attest, given how difficult that game was to win on the road. You know, maybe it's Iowa, maybe it's Washington rising up, maybe it's somebody that we're not really talking about, but USC to me is the most interesting fourth team in the Big Ten, because you can certainly make a case based on their roster and their quarterback and even their head coach. I mean, Lincoln Riley told me this recently. It's not like he's forgotten what a playoff team looks like. The guy had playoff teams every year at Oklahoma, pretty much, and even though it hasn't gone well at USC, he still understands the ingredients it takes to get to that level.
Well, don't you know, Adam, they also have an AI coach now, right? They got a new AI guy on their staff. That's all we need right now to help put us over the top. Let me ask you this, because I do think you're hinting at something that makes the Big Ten really interesting, and that is we know how top-heavy it is. There's been so many years where it's like, well, who's that next team from the middle of the pack? And really none of them have done it. I mean, Indiana, I should be fair. Indiana going from where they were to being at the top is obviously great. But then I feel like there's these same kind of Nebraska. Is this the year? 7-5. USC, here we go, 9-3. If I give you over or under 3.5 Big Ten teams in the playoff next year, would you take the over or the under?
I would probably take the over. I actually am pretty encouraged by the overall depth of the league, the fact that we're having these conversations. It'd be very surprising if, like, you know, Penn State's one of those teams, for example. Like, you can make a case for Penn State to make the playoff, even if they aren't that great of a team because of their schedule.
Yeah.
Like, they can get to 10 wins. Like, and the 10 wins in the Big Ten is getting you in the playoff. And so whether it's that, whether it's USC, you know, winning some big games at home, I think Ohio State is going to be fascinating this year because of how difficult their schedule is. You know, they could be a team that we're looking at 9-3, and maybe the only Big Ten team that you could look at 9-3 and say, you know what, they still have to make the playoff somehow. So I think it'll be 4. But it could be 3. I'd be surprised if it's less than 3. I think it's probably 3 or 4. I don't think the Big Ten is necessarily getting 5 or 6 teams or something like that crazy into the playoff. But again, who knows at Michigan? Maybe Kyle gets it right in year 1 and gets the most out of Bryce Underwood, and they beat Oklahoma in week 2, and then they're off to a special season because they certainly have the talent level and the coaching to get there. But I think it's going to be 4 with maybe Penn State as the 4th.
It felt great to talk actual football and not about can you gamble on your team. Should the Big 12 ban Texas Tech? It just we got a lot of issues in the sport right now. It feels good to talk about the actual sport. That's why the article was fun to read. Go check out his future power rankings, ESPN.com. He is senior college football writer for ESPN, Adam Rittenberg, at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter. We always appreciate the time. Hope the offseason is treating you well, and let's do it again soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. His top, we can get into the numbers. Which ones do we agree with or disagree with? Because I went through this the other day, and I'm like, that's interesting. Notre Dame is his number one over the next 2 years future power rank team.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very good. National championship appearance 2 years ago. On the outside looking in last year, but what? 2 losses by a combined 5 points against A&M and Miami. Very close to being undefeated. Talk about that. And we also have a tier list of this position. Did they get it right? Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
We get to some fun with audio coming up in the following segment. We got to get to Team USA. What do I need to know? You guys know anything about Team USA? You up on your Team USAs at all? I know Pulisic. I got that.
I think it's Pulisic.
Pulisic.
I think it's an itch.
Itch. It's an itch, not an ick.
I think.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. You guys are soccer guys. You do the soccer.
No,
the biggest question.
I do Premier League. Mm. I don't do the world rosters. Mm. I've seen where some of the Nottingham Forest guys have gone.
Yeah. Debates. Are you rooting for your Nottingham Forest guys in the World Cup?
I am. I'm hoping, you know, Chris Wood and Elliot Anderson do well.
Does that make you a pretty unique soccer fan, I'd imagine?
I don't know. I went to a place
that has to make it an outlier, right?
Well, you had food poisoning recently.
Yeah, I did.
I went to that place yesterday because if you wore a soccer jersey, you got to buy one, get one.
Oh, did you?
So I wore my Nottingham Forest jersey.
How's your tum-tum feeling?
I ate it this morning. Actually, feels really good.
Look at you. Good for you.
So I got some food, and I noticed all the jerseys. It was either USA, Timbers, or Messi.
Mm.
I was very standout, unique in the sense of like a lot of the same jerseys.
Yeah, I'd imagine most soccer people. Do soccer people care more about the World Cup or their fandom of their team?
What country?
What country?
I think it's about country.
Like Mexico's all in.
Yeah. I think the top six countries.
What about
England?
It's all World Cup. They're like the eighth favorite.
Well, what is a more meaningful fandom to them?
Well, but England divided with.
Well, they're divided.
Well, I know. I'm saying, yeah. but they all root for an individual team.
It's World Cup.
Yeah, is it Liverpool or is it England? Is it Arsenal or is it England?
That's a tough one to gauge because. So, like, Arsenal lost to PSG in the Champions League.
Okay.
It came down to penalty kicks.
Okay.
2 days after that. They had one of the biggest parades ever through the city. You know why? They won the Premier League.
Mm.
But it was 2 days after losing heartbreaker to PSG in the Champions League. So people were like, how are you having the biggest parade? It's like, it's the freaking Premier League. We won the Premier League. That matters.
Mm.
So I think it's really tough to separate those two. I can't speak with any real knowledge or history of it.
Right.
I would guess when your country's in,
you care.
It's the most unifying event of your country.
And it happens only one every 4 years, so you can gear up.
Liverpool, Tottenham, Nottingham Forest, Chelsea, you name it, they're all in on the same team.
Right.
They're usually divided. For 8 to 9 months, they're usually divided. So,
well, educate me on USA in the final hour. What do I need to know? So I can give us a crash course. Do you know anything about Team USA? You got nothing.
Not as much as usual. There's
a long-winded way of me saying I don't know anything about our team.
The big miss. Normally, you know who the number one goalkeeper is going in, whether it's
Tim Howard,
or Tim Howard or whoever. They got three guys, and nobody's really sure who it's going to be.
She could be our goalie.
All I know is this guy.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
Told me that the team's really good.
Okay, so we could be good this year. This is our year.
He then proceeded to not remember what years we made it out of the group stage versus didn't make it out of the group stage.
They got a live show coming up today. Team USA plays. We'll get to that in the final hour of the show. Adam Rittenberg's future college football rankings of programs. I will give you the top 10. Do you want to go 10 to 1 or 1 to 10? What's the more enjoyable way to go?
I think you work your way to 1.
I think you have to work my way to 1?
Yeah.
Okay. What do we agree with or disagree with the most? Who is the most egregious placing?
All right, so the top programs over the next how many years?
Over the next 2 years.
2 years.
Over the next two. If you're buying stock in a program.
You're buying stock expecting to
who's your blue chip
play for and win a college football national championship.
Yes. Alabama 10. Texas A&M 9. By the way, I'll give you their last year rankings, too, by the way, because he's done this a couple years in a row.
Well, Indiana went from 20 to 7.
They did. Bama stayed at 10. They were 10 last year. They stayed at 10. A&M, huge jump, 28th to 9th. Mm-hmm. Big time jump for them. LSU, 8th with Lane Kiffin. They were 8th last year with Brian Kelly. I chuckled at that. You mentioned Indiana. They are 7th. They were 20th last year. Miami, number 6, off of their title game appearance. They were 11th last year, so a 5-spot jump. Georgia's number 5. They were 3 last year, so Georgia down 2 spots from where they were a year ago. Oregon is number 4. They were number 4 last year. They did not move. Texas at number three. They were number one a year ago going into the season.
Yeah.
Ohio State, two. They were two. And Notre Dame is your number one team. They were number five last year. Biggest agree, biggest disagree?
Texas.
Texas?
Yeah, they should be lower. Yeah.
Lower than three?
Well, yeah, or because they didn't make the playoff last year.
They did not. They were 9-3 and did not go to the college football playoff.
And it's not that they won't be good this year because everybody's high on Arch because of the way his season
it's
ended.
It's not that they don't have resources and all that sort of stuff.
To me, it's about the coach.
Okay.
To not make the playoff after making the playoff and then being as loaded as they were and being looked at as the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
To have that season, it's a pretty big letdown. It's not that you can't redeem yourself. It's that if you made me pick, I don't actually know how much disagreement there really should be in the top four.
No, who knows? Yeah.
You arguing they're Oregon all really one versus
I might,
four
I might flip-flop Georgia and Texas.
Now, let me ask you this, because you guys both seem to be in agreement there of Texas being three at too high. And I see, I see the point, right? Yeah. Like, it's a big year for Sark and it's curious because I do think that sentiment exists, but I don't think anybody would make that argument about Notre Dame.
Well, Notre Dame's an independent, so their schedule is a lot more manageable.
Far more manageable, yes.
Whereas Texas, I take into account the SEC schedule,
okay,
plus
totally
they have Ohio State.
Because they were in the title game 2 years ago, went 10-2, did make the playoff, and that was a big debate at the end of the year. Should they be in?
Yeah.
We knew they were one of the best teams in the sport, but they didn't really beat anybody.
Notre Dame with their ability to set up their schedule. And
they play the ACC.
They play half the ACC.
They're a really
good
program.
USC's not going to play him anymore.
He's a great recruiter. His quarterback could be a 3-year starter.
They definitely have the option now that they fixed the seeding rule to be a top 4 seed and get a bye regularly.
He agreed to the extension, so right now he's like all the way in on being the head coach of the program. Like, if you don't think they're one, okay, you want to make Ohio State one? Fine. I don't really. That argument's different than saying Texas 3, SEC, how loaded it is, not making it last year, relying on things that I'm not as convinced on as a lot of people seem to be. There's a little more uncertainty with that, whereas at least Notre Dame, you want to make the argument and you think they're 1, 2, or 4.
Right.
Okay, but they play in an independent schedule. They get to play the ACC, basically.
Certainly will make things easier for them.
They don't have USC.
They don't play Ohio State in non-conferences.
Yeah, so I just look at that and say, okay, I can kind of understand it. I would actually enjoy this. I didn't say this to him.
Mm-hmm.
It would be actually kind of funny if he just kept the rankings and couldn't redo them for 2 years and then reevaluated.
Or have it be an every 2 year ranking system.
I mean,
yeah, instead of every year.
20, what do you have? 28?
28 last year.
And he had Indiana 20.
If you were buying stock right now in programs,
yeah,
I give you stock options.
If I look at that range,
would
Indiana
I give
and
you A and would you buy A&M stock ahead of Alabama stock right now? It's an interesting one.
Well, there's a lot of people saying that Alabama actually doesn't have the money that some of the other programs in their conference have.
They're not one of the richest alumni bases
in the
country.
So the NIL thing's actually killing them because they can't just go buy the players like they used to.
There's a lot of car dealerships down there, but that's about all they got going for them. A&M's definitely got more money than Alabama.
That's tough because
who are you? It
boils down to Elko and DeBoer.
Right.
But also the money matters here.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
The next two years, I would take the stock
of A&M over the stock of Bama.
One more question on this, because I love reading through stuff like this and just like, man, they're there, huh? Who should be, I don't know if offended is the right word, who should be more upset, more outraged by their ranking between the two national title competitors from last year?
Indiana.
Indiana 7, Miami 6.
Indiana.
Indiana, really.
Indiana should be outraged by you, by Rittenberg. They're going to be 8-4. They're 7th. Like, I would be absolutely out of my mind pissed off if I heard any of this stuff.
So does Miami have a claim to make, though, too? They won 10 games 2 years ago.
No.
I think they're in the right spot.
They're great at acquiring talent. 6 is the right spot for them.
They should be happy.
Yeah. Oh, happy they're 6.
Just be happy. Take your ranking and be happy and shut up.
Okay.
You were 5th in your garbage-ass conference. You only made it because they couldn't put 7-5 Duke in the title in the playoff game. And
Miami needs to quit losing the total head-scratcher games first.
But don't we overlook that after you go to a national championship?
No.
No, okay.
No.
No. Did they need to win one to overlook it? If you win one, you overlook it, right?
Yeah, if you win one, it's different.
Can we overlook Ryan Day? It's Michigan making
well,
him
I mean,
their
it's
bitch.
Not an anti-Mario thing, per se. I just...
I just find them interesting.
How
they
got into the dance last year was already debatable enough.
That's totally fair. Yeah.
Fifth in your conference, technically, and you
they
got
added
in.
Darian Mensah, who I think is one of the best quarterbacks in the sport, sure, in a last-second
move. They've kept the coordinators.
You can't have those Florida State losses.
And this is the point that, because I certainly understand the argument.
Flirt with
that's
the
why Oregon's ahead of him. Dan Lanning, since he's taken over, there's no head scratchers.
Yes, okay. There is. He has one.
Well, he has one.
That's it. Yeah. He only has one.
There's one. There's one in there.
There is one in there. And it was a rivalry game.
They're going to run the ball again. They're going to run the ball again.
You know their quarterback can't throw.
Hey, guys, I think they're going to run the ball again.
It's the only thing on the Lanning resume, outside of like losing a playoff game and blow off. It's the only thing people like kind of misrepresent is he never loses that game. Yeah, he did. He literally lost the game. I watched it.
I get the point, and I've certainly made that argument about Mario over the years, and it feels a little, let me go take a shower because I'm defending Miami and Mario for a brief moment. But it's unique because in the era we live in, I think you can, you're definitely playing with thinner ice, but we have seen, I think, in the last 2 years that you can get away with some stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State couldn't score a touchdown at home against Michigan.
And then won the title.
And then won the national title.
Right.
Miami couldn't beat SMU. And who was the other team that beat them this year? I know SMU got them. I know they lost twice. I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. Somebody else got them. And it was a game they shouldn't have lost because they went 10-2. And they beat Notre Dame. But they showed that they can get away with it because they got in the playoff and they made it all the way to the title game. And they were competitive in the national title game.
If I'd made you buy a stock between Penn State and Florida for the next 2 years, whose would you buy?
Penn State.
Really?
Not necessarily.
It was Louisville they
Louisville
lost
Louisville got him, that's right.
Right, at Miami.
Didn't Beck throw
Miami
like four picks in that game? He had and they lost by a field goal.
Crazy
24-21 on a Friday night.
And Beck threw a ton of picks, and they still almost won the game. Just shot themselves. Like, they do that. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying in the current landscape, I think there's more leeway to do that. And if you have the talent in order to win at the highest level. At the end of the day, you get into a playoff, maybe you go on a run.
Right.
I would only take Penn State from one. It's not even a coach argument, although I do like Matt Campbell. I just think it's an easier pathway in the Big Ten than the SEC from a depth standpoint. I don't think Penn State will be better than Ohio State, Indiana, or Oregon anytime soon.
But isn't Florida's just problem this coach? It just feels like it's been
That's
coach.
Definitely been their biggest issue.
Because they got Lagway.
Definitely been their biggest issue.
I don't think money is a problem at Florida. The recruiting element is not. I feel like it's just coach.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah. Fun to talk actual college football. I didn't get to my other tier thing. We could save that for later. I'll kick that can down the road a little bit. Fun to talk a little college football. And thanks again to Adam Rittenberg for hopping on. I got some fun with audio. We got to learn about Team USA. We got game. We got to get you ready, not tonight, but we got game 5 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. Stanley Cup, I'm assuming, is Sunday. So do we get a close of the series this weekend for back on the air? We got a lot still to get to, but some fun with audio next, 105.1 FM The Fan. And before we leave, I'm going to stick around dirt here telling you about our good friends at Trajan Wealth. Family, future, financial freedom. Trajan Wealth knows how important all those things are to you because they're just important to them as well. As a family-owned, veteran-led fiduciary firm, Trajan Wealth puts your goals first. When you succeed, they succeed. Trajan Wealth, TRAJANWealth.com. Visit them online at TRAJANWealth.com or call 1-855-TRAJAN1. And when it comes to wealth management and retirement planning, think Trajan Wealth. Whether you're rolling over an old 401k from a previous job or wondering, when do I draw Social Security? Their experienced advisors will guide you every step of the way with offices right here in Portland. Consultations are easy and complimentary. The team at Trajan Wealth has decades of experience and one mission: to help you retire with confidence. Don't wait. Start securing your financial future today. Call 1-855-TRAJAN1 or visit TRAJANWealth.com. Advisory services through Trajan Wealth LLC, SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Additional services through Trajan Estate and Trajan Tax. Actual client paid advertisement. Additional disclosures at TrajanWealth.com.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build.
5 years old.
Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks. And suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Quick question before I get to my fun with audio. Get to the footy football in the final hour. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. Do they come to an end by the time we do a next show?
Yeah, Monday we could have title show.
Do we have championship Monday? That? Or do we have the series still going Monday? If you won a Super Bowl, would you want the massive size ring, or would you want a more practical, wearable ring?
Oh, I want it.
You want the biggest bling possible?
Big. I want a Flavor Flav clock.
You
on
want
my
it that big
size ring
on, like, as large as you can get on?
Because they got
you see the
ones?
Seahawk ring last
yeah,
night.
I saw it.
And the ones, some of them now like open up inside, and then there's something
you can put your cocaine
inside
in
of it or whatever. Yeah.
That's
where you put your drugs.
How many Dallas Cowboys in the 90s wanted those kind of rings?
Where'd you learn that? Cheech drug school. I mean, I saw the ring looks cool. I always love when they go through the, it's kind of like the jersey thing when you announce a new jersey.
Yeah, all the little.
Well, the yellow accents actually
details.
For the 19, you know, and you're just like, who, do we like the jersey or not? They do that for rings now, too. They have different MOBs on there. Mission over bull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was their team mantra.
That's right. Yeah.
The two trophies. I chuckle at that idea too because it's. You have to do it.
Do you not like this ring? I'm kind of getting a vibe. You don't like the ring. I thought the ring was pretty dope.
I'm not saying the ring is dope. It's absolutely
dope. They're all gaudy to begin with.
I'm just asking the question of, like, if you won a Super Bowl, if you want the big one, you would never wear it in a practical nature.
You wear it at any charity event.
Charity event.
Yeah.
Fancy
reunion.
Something. Yeah.
Right. Want a free dinner and you're back in
it's
Seattle.
It's largely in a case being lit
up. It's in a case.
Up.
And yeah. I'm just, that would
or
be my
safe.
Question of, like, would you rather have something that's cool that you would be more willing to wear on a regular basis?
No.
Okay.
Now, look, this is, I guess, a preference, right? Mm-hmm. A choice. I worked with somebody years ago who, for some reason, got a ring as a media member.
Oh, okay.
But it was like, for being a media member.
A media member ring.
And they wore it all the time. And I always found that a little interesting as a choice.
What kind of media? Are we talking like a team employed media member?
No.
An independent media member?
Yeah. And I think
that's weird.
They won an award way back when we actually gave people stuff.
Oh.
And they used to wear the ring all the time.
That's what the ring was. Got it.
And so, like, I always thought about, like, would I wear...
Would you wear that ring?
No.
No, I don't think I would.
I don't really ever wear my wedding ring.
Yeah, you're not a ring guy.
I'm not really a ring guy. I'd rather put... I have a necklace. I wear a necklace.
Are you wearing this giant ring on a... You're not wearing that on a necklace. You got to keep it in a case.
See, if it's a giant ring, or this ring is an example, the Seahawk ring, I don't know what they estimated the worth of. Is it 50 G's? Is it something that?
Yeah,
whatever it costs.
I mean, you go through it. There's behind the 12, there's 50 white diamonds for the 50th. Like, you go through
it's an expensive ring,
right?
Insanely
expensive ring.
Even if you told me it was wearable and not big and gaudy, but it's still kind of expensive, I'm not wearing it every... Wait, why do you want a more practical ring? You're going to wear it every day?
I don't know. That was my thought.
That seems a little
odd. I don't know. There was...
You're a class ring guy.
Do you wear a class ring?
I never had a class ring.
What was the ring? Didn't you used to have a ring? You used to wear a different ring,
Got a wedding ring.
Is that the only ring you've ever worn?
This is my... These were my grandfather's diamonds.
Got it. Okay.
And my grandmother, when I graduated from high school,
gave you the ring. Yeah.
Bought the setting, and we had the stones put in.
So a ring guy.
Oh, so he's kind of right. It is a class ring.
I mean, it's not a class ring, but
it's a high school ring.
The family jewels.
Family jewels. Yeah.
But no,
it's a family ring.
The new press box set up at Hop Stadium. We're now in, and so some of the scouts. There have been scouts in there, and there was one for the Dodgers. He was wearing his honking World
Series. Was he really?
Ring. Yeah, he got one.
Interesting.
And so he was
wearing that to have people ask you about it. You're not wearing that out of comfort.
And this is my point, is that if you want to wear it, would you prefer it to be something that's not so outrageously large? That was the only thought I had.
If you're going to wear it, it's the not outrageously
large
choice.
Right, because if it's something you want to wear on a regular basis, you would feel a little douchey wearing that everywhere, would you not? Like, you're proud that your team won it, but...
Some people don't. I think in football specifically, and I might be wrong on this, I feel like football players, and maybe hockey is this way, I feel like the more physical the sport... the more proud they are to wear it, because they don't care that you think it's douchey.
I put my
they
life
broke
on
a
the line
rib for that ring.
Yeah.
Their finger was pointed the wrong way. In some weird way.
Hockey guy took 12 stitches in game three.
He lost three teeth that season.
Right.
Basketball guys, they get gaudy rings, and they work hard certainly for them, but it's like...
Yeah.
There's a little difference there between the very physical sports, the physical sports... And then baseball.
It is funny, too, the idea of how many rings. Like, college football's got a bit of a ring problem. I don't know if you're aware of this. They give out rings
if you win the regular season. If you win the
conference
championship,
bowl game, conference title. Like,
that's why Terrell Pryor hawked some of it.
I had a buddy who was on staff at Oregon, and I remember looking at, like, the collection of rings. Like, they gave you got a ring for that? Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
not that I'm mad about it.
Are they very expensive?
None of them ever wear them.
Are they expensive rings?
They're not like this expensive, but they're not fake. They're not knockoff from China. You know, I think there's real diamonds in them. They're not to this level, but
it's an odd thing, a ring, because like I would be largely wannabe guy that has it in a nice case lit up somewhere in my house. I'm also admitting I'd kind of be deathly afraid of it just being stolen.
Yes, but wouldn't you want it on your person? What happens if it gets stolen?
But I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah.
But if it's in a safe, how boring is that?
Yeah.
That
sucks.
Like,
or you're wearing it at some sort of event where there might be a little bit of security or something like that.
Yeah,
if it's
somebody's
a banquet
bite
or
your finger
a,
off.
Yeah.
Do you maybe
restaurant?
Get a dummy ring that like is exactly the same. You put the real one in the safe, and then you have the dummy demo one.
That's
on
actually
display.
That's a really good call. That's the way I would.
I think
that's
the way to do it.
Then you're wearing it. You got it out in public, but in case somebody snatches it, have fun with that.
Yeah, you just say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, have it.
Oh,
fine. I thought that was one of the cooler auction items for Walton's.
Yes, championship ring.
He had a championship ring.
Because back in the day, the championship rings weren't that big. They're pretty normal.
No, they look like a class ring.
They look
like a class ring, a mood ring.
Class of 95.
Did you get a class ring?
I did not. I was not a class ring guy.
Yeah.
But I'd be okay being ring guy. I think I could be ring guy.
You don't.
I mean, I wear a wedding ring. That's all I wear.
Yeah.
But I could be, if I won the right championship.
But you wear you would wear your ring?
Yeah. I just need it a little bit smaller. Built for comfort.
Why do I have you pegged as somebody that shows up to the foursome and it's over the golf glove? And you go, oh, sorry, guys. It's hard to grip today.
I actually got too big of a wedding ring that I can't. It makes me uncomfortable to play golf with it. I don't wear it when I play golf.
Oh, it's too big?
It's just too thick. It feels too bulky
too
in my swing.
Yeah,
it throws me off a little bit. It's in my glove.
There's
too much going on there. You know?
That's the problem I have with my wedding ring. It's why I don't wear it. It's like it's a little thick. And I love the ring, but it's a little thicker. And I don't want the black rubber ring because they're going to be like, oh, you're a swinger.
Well, mine... when I became no longer fat swag, because when we got married, I was fat swag.
Yeah.
And so the ring.
So your ring just doesn't fit anymore?
Doesn't fit.
You got to go get it resized.
You can't make it smaller. You can only make rings bigger.
You know what's funny about that?
My ring. You can't make it smaller, really?
How would you make it?
Cut a chunk off.
Oh.
But what if it's thick?
My wife's ring had to get cut open when her fingers got busted up in the car accident, and they re-welded it together.
Is it really thick?
It's the band part of it.
See, if his is a thick band.
No, it's a thick band that kind of protrudes out.
I have a similar problem because I weighed a little more when I got married than I do now, so it's a little looser than when I first got it.
Hefty lefty. Yeah. Let's get to a quick bit of fun with audio. It's been a long season for my baseball team. We don't need to talk about them because they don't matter and they suck, but they did have a pretty cool moment the other day, and they hit a walk-off grand slam after being down 10-1. One of the only reasons I'm still watching Giants games is because I think they got some of the best broadcasters in the sport. We played the John Miller cut yesterday of the home run call, and Crook and Kipe have been their TV guys forever, right? They're legendary, and they mainly only do home games now. So it's been a long year, so just keep that in mind. This game is 10-7. There's nobody out and the bases are loaded. Their young rookie Bryce Eldridge is coming up to the plate. Some of the fans who were still in attendance started taking their shirts off. That's like the trend now in baseball. They're doing the college football
thing.
Yeah,
the damn Cardinals.
The Cardinals started this.
Tarps off.
We suck. Take our shirts off. Ha ha, right? So it's become a thing. And I just want you to, have you ever heard this phrase dropped on television during a sports broadcast?
It may be more than tarps off if Eldridge knocks one out of here.
Well, I'm going to hold you to it. Time to drop trial and hog out.
Now, he proceeded to hit a grand slam. I don't know if he dropped trial and went hog out.
I don't think he did.
Time to drop trial and hog out.
If baseballism doesn't have a drop trowel,
did
hog
he just
out
say
is
that?
Crazy.
How would you not immediately come out with a shirt?
Hog out in black and orange is absolutely what you need right now.
Every Giants fan in unison said, did he just say hog out? Take your hog out? That's what he...
Time to drop trowel and hog out.
So, drop trowel and hog out.
If Schultze were in charge of marketing, that would be a Giants thong.
Ooh, good call.
What do you call a small ween? If it's not hog out, like what?
It's a wiener.
Well, you can't say drop trout wiener out.
Wiener out.
You're trying to cover for the wiener part.
Smoky. Is it a little smoky?
A little smoky
drop
out.
Drop trout smoky out.
Smoky out. Smoky's not bad.
Awful.
A little smoky. What should we call that instead of a hog?
There's a lot of pressure if somebody's like, oh, he's got a hog. Like, whoa, easy, dude.
Hey,
I don't know about that.
Easy.
There's a lot of pressure put on me.
Don't put that hog pressure on me, okay?
I didn't ask for that.
I ain't a hog over here. I ain't no hog. Second the nut hits my lip, I spit it out. Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show.
That's an all-time bad drop.
We will get to the NBA Finals. The Footy Football World Cup is beginning. It's a loaded final hour. It's a Friday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Realfacts 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Realfacts 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.